Hey guys, Chris Appleton here with the Reach Podcast, and this is episode 3, and I am excited to get this one off the ground, get it going today. We got some stuff to talk about, some stuff to cover, and I really sense it's going to be something great, and just been excited to get this going all week, actually. So, I am thankful for anyone who takes the time to listen. It's really encouraging, really a blessing for people to, you know, just listen and then also give me positive feedback and let me know that, you know, they appreciate what's going on. So remember the days that you were with me from the beginning and, you know, things are getting better with it. I feel like the content's going to improve. The show's going to improve as we go. I mean, the main thing is just getting it off the ground, getting it going. So definitely excited about that. Now, today we're going to do a devotion, and then I'm going to spend most of this podcast talking about Kanye West, his new album, and just the things that are going on with Kanye West, and just my thoughts and things that I want to share on everything. I got a chance to listen to the entire album a few times, and it is, we'll share on how I feel about it, what my thoughts are a little bit later in the podcast. So stick around with me, and we'll have a good time. This week, Living Word had a conference in Bakersfield. I wasn't able to attend, but I watched every message on Facebook. They had Facebook Live going, and it was tremendous. Just seeing what God is doing, it looked like, I mean, the worship was awesome, and the preaching was off the hook. I was just blown away just seeing what God was speaking and what God wants to do in Northern California, Central California. And it's, you know, I mean, that's just amazing to see, you know, Bakersfield and everything God is doing. Of course, Pastor Ruben preached Friday night. I mean, the last night was Wednesday night. And man, that was just such a powerful message he preached. And just always challenging and encouraging, just to rise up and be the man, to be the couple that God has called me and my wife to be. And it just, we definitely appreciate Pastor Ruben, his heart for ministry and 50 years of marriage and ministry and everything else. Just so awesome to be a part of Living Word and our vision of reaching, teaching, mending, and sending. So it was amazing to watch. I so wish I could have been there. We have our conference coming up in January, which is going to be amazing. And I just can't wait to take that entire week off and just hear from God and see and get that direction for the year of 2020, the year of vision. It's going to be awesome. So definitely looking forward to that. Now I'm going to dive right into the devotional segment here, and it's definitely a good devotion. We're doing what's called I Declare War by Levi Lusco, and it is in your Bible app. If you have the Bible app. If you don't have the Bible app, it's a YouVersion Bible app. I definitely recommend download it. It is awesome. It has devotionals and scriptures. It has all the different versions of the Bible that you could think of. It reads you the Bible. It's just right there. I use it when I preach, when I minister. I just use the Bible app for everything. I have notes and things that I put from other preachers. You can put them right in the Bible app. It saves it all for you. It's amazing. So I definitely recommend using the Bible app, we're going to get right into this devotional called I Declare War by Levi Lusco. I Declare War by Levi Lusco. This is the third one. So it's titled, If You Say So. And it goes on to read, the year was 1997. I just finished my homework and downed a peanut butter sandwich made with Eggo waffles. And the burning desire for milk kicked in. I hopped over to the back of my sofa at the commercial break of Saved by the Bell, flung open the fridge, and began gulping down cold milk straight out of the carton. I was satisfied for about 0.3 seconds until I realized this milk had turned. This milk was not my friend. It wasn't a day or two old. It was over a week old. Needless to say, I puked so hard I dislodged gum that had been in my small intestine since the second grade. I learned on that day what Matthew speaks of in Matthew 15:10. How's that for a segue? TMI? The Gospel of Matthew tells us there is something more dangerous than taking in something bad, and that is speaking out something that is bad. When God hears you speak about your meeting as terrible, your car as crappy, your kids as ungrateful, your husband as lazy, your town as small, your house as cramped, His response is, if you say so. You will feel how you speak and find what you seek. Likewise, there is power in speaking out something that is good. At creation, God spoke the world to life. At the incarnation, God spoke Jesus into our world. That tells you something about the weight of words. And it should humble you to know that God has given you the same power of speech. That is part of the terrible privilege of being made in His image. You have great power in your speech that can unleash a forceful fury that can create, tear down, build, heal, or even hurt. One of my favorite stories in Scripture shows what I'm trying to communicate. It's from Matthew 8, when a centurion came to Jesus for help because his servant was seriously ill. In response to this man's plea, Jesus immediately agrees to come to the man's home and treat the boy. This is where it gets really interesting. The centurion protests that there is no need for Jesus to enter his home. For one, it would be inconvenient for Jesus to have to travel. And secondly, if he entered the house of a Gentile, he would be ceremonially defiled and have to go through a cleansing ritual before his daily life could continue. Translation, he would get Gentile cooties. He didn't want Jesus to be put out while doing him a favor. When Jesus heard this, he marveled because the centurion's faith was noteworthy. Jesus then turned and spoke three incredible words of wisdom that were original to him long before they were sung by Paul McCartney and John Lennon. He said, let it be. Matthew 8:13, as you have believed, so let it be done for you. This is actually where we get our word, amen. Amen, translated directly into our language, means let it be. When we say amen, we are saying, may what I have prayed come to pass. But in light of the response of what happened in this interaction between the centurion and Jesus, our goal should be to pray such a gutsy prayer that with raised eyebrows, God would say to you, amen, let it be. It is up to you whether the self-fulfilling prophecies you articulate become a delight or a dungeon. God's response to the way you speak is, if you say so. Questions to ask yourself. One, how do I speak to myself and others? In what way is my speech positive? In what ways do I have a hard time controlling my tongue? Think of an area of your life you tend to complain about or speak negatively of. Challenge yourself this week. Every time you are tempted to complain, to find a way to thank God instead. Let's go ahead and read the scriptures for this devotion. Matthew 15:10. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Matthew 8:5-13. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. To my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that follow, verily, verily, I say unto you, I have not found no so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, even in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed that self-same hour. King James Version. James 3:8-10. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith we curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Wow, that's a heavy one. Proverbs 16:24. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Being careful with my words is something that I'm still developing and still working on. I'm a whole lot better than I used to be. I used to try to be a Christian roast comic and felt like I needed to cap on everybody I came around. And, you know, there's certain people you can joke with and certain people you can't, but I never had that definitive line. And I would just tell everybody exactly what was going on in my head without any sort of filter or Holy Spirit filter. And I would hurt people's feelings and, you know, offend people. And I had to learn to not be that way with everybody. And there's time and a place for words and saying things. And, you know, it's a blessing. Now the people that I work around and I'm, you know, even at work and different places, and I try to be an encourager. Today at work, a guy said, well, I'm not the best. And I said, you shouldn't think of yourself that way. You are the best. And God made you the best. And he created you to be great. And there's greatness inside of you. And the guy looked at me and just, you know, it was to encourage him, you know. And he I could tell he didn't know how to really be receptive to that. And I said it because I wanted to be an encourager and be a blessing to him. So I'm saying that to say that there are people around you, and sometimes we think we can say one thing, but maybe God wants us just to be an encouragement. And I pray the Holy Spirit gives me those words that are a honeycomb, gives me those words that are health to someone's bones in a hard situation or a trying situation, and that the Lord would give me the words that are seasoned with grace and seasoned with the Holy Spirit to encourage and to build up and not tear down for the sake of, you know, being funny or something. So, awesome devotion today. I really enjoy this. I declare war. There's a couple more. We got 4 and 5 left on that. So, and then we will find, I have an idea for a couple ideas for another devotional once we get done with this one, but I'm really enjoying this one. Hope you're following along in your Bible app as well. And, you know, give me feedback on what you think about the I Declare War devotional.
The storm may come, we'll get through it because of your love. Even when we crash like water, here comes water, pure as water.
Jesus, flow through us. Jesus, heal the bruises. Jesus, clean the music. Jesus, please use us. Jesus, please help. Jesus, please heal. Jesus, please forgive. Jesus, please reveal. Jesus, give us strength. Jesus, make us well. Jesus, help us live. Jesus, give us wealth. Jesus is our safe. Jesus is our rock. Jesus, give us grace. Jesus, keep us safe.
Clean us like the rain in spring. Take the glory out of conversation. Let your light reflect on me.
Wow. Now, I want to share some thoughts on Kanye West and just everything that I see and things that I've heard and conversations I've had and, you know, just looking at the whole thing. And I personally am thankful to God that Kanye West is turned his heart over to the Lord and that he's in pursuit of God. He's in pursuit of change. He's in pursuit of that heart transformation. And I'm not going to say that it's happened completely. I don't know. It hasn't happened completely for me. I'm still in pursuit, and I've been serving the Lord over 20 years. I'm still in pursuit of the same thing. And I sense that there's, because of the celebrity status he has, there's so many people that are hating on him. And there's a song that he has where he says, what am I going to hear from the church? What am I going to hear from Christians? And mostly it's hate. And I thought, I don't want to be one of those. I want to support a new believer that has a reach further than I could really understand. And seeing what God is doing is pretty awesome. Now, just to contrast this, okay, so he comes out with this new album, Jesus is King. He was telling everybody about it, you know, all this stuff. And then he goes on Jimmy Kimmel this week. He goes on Jimmy Kimmel. He actually is a surprise guest on Jimmy Kimmel to promote his new album. And it was in New, you know, out here in, it might have been in New York. I'm not sure. Anyway, he was, he came out on Jimmy Kimmel and he still repped Christ. He didn't go out and say anything different than what he's been saying. And to have these platforms that he has, Jimmy Kimmel, one of the highest rated talk shows, you know, late night talk shows out there. Plus, it gets even more views when it goes onto YouTube and everything else. It's just millions upon millions and millions of people that are watching this transformation take place, you can't help but think that there's people out there that are going to be impacted by this, who know that God is real because of the real work that he's doing right before this huge, talk about piercing the darkness. It doesn't get any darker than Hollywood, any darker than the music business. That's darkness and greed and money being the master of everything that they do. And he's separating himself and he's saying, you know, I'm really going to go after God. And I'm going to use this platform to glorify him. And Jesus is my king. And he even puts that on the album. Jesus is king. And I think that's awesome. Contrast that to like, you know, Snoop Dogg does a gospel album. And I enjoyed the Snoop Dogg gospel album. Okay. It's fine. He made an album. But I don't think Snoop made the album for the same reason Kanye did. I think Snoop probably thought, okay, I've done hip hop. I've done reggae. I switched to Snoop Lion. I've done, you know, all these, you know, soul albums and, you know, whatever it was. He's done all these different genres of music. What's an untapped market that let's do a gospel album. So he pays all these, you know, different gospel singers to come on and, you know, puts a gospel album out to tap into a market that he can make money from, is what I feel about Snoop. And, you know, I could be wrong, but it doesn't have the same depth of purpose as what I heard in this Kanye album. And it's like the whole thing is a message. The whole thing is him crying out to God for answers and seeking God in a deep way. And it's not necessarily him just trying to tap into an untouched market that he hasn't sold records to yet. But it's more of him, you know, and I thought, okay, the guy is definitely gifted. We know that. He's made millions upon millions of dollars with his gifting. The Bible says your gift will make room for you. His gift has definitely made room for him. He's done tremendous albums. I've never really been a fan of his music, but he must be doing something right. I liked the song Jesus Walks. I thought, man, that's a great song. But ever since then, I really haven't heard anything of Kanye and thought, wow, this is something I need to listen to over and over and over. This album I listened to three times already, three in complete times. And I'm actually a fan of Kanye West after listening to this. I'm like, I was blown away. There were some parts that moved me to tears. That he has this, and it's more of not just a gifting, but you can sense the anointing of God. I mean it. I honestly sense the anointing of God. And, you know, I've heard people say, oh, time will tell about Kanye. Yeah, time tells about everybody. But in this moment right now, what God is doing right now, I'm enjoying it. I'm thankful for what God is doing right now. This album right now. Maybe he's going to go through something. Maybe he's going to make a mistake. Maybe he's going to, on this platform that he's built to glorify God, maybe he's going to make a mistake in front of everybody. Then what? We write him off? We just say, okay, No, he is now accepted Christ and is a Christian brother who's in discipleship, who has men of God that are around him, who is taking spiritual counsel and listening to spiritual leaders and spiritual authority. Of course, I mean, he's Kanye West, but there are people around him that are imparting into his life. And he makes a mistake and we write him off. Makes a mistake and the church turns his back. Or is this huge, grand soundstage that Kanye's on right now, of seeing how the church treats a celebrity who's bold enough to separate himself from the world and make Jesus the king of his life? Is the church going to surround him with enough grace to get him to the fullness of his destiny? And I really think that that's where we need to be is lifting up people like him in prayer. Lifting up, because there's more celebrities that are going to come to the Lord through this. It's not really going to be let's make a gospel album because Kanye West made a bunch of money doing it. But it's, look at the life change. Look at what God is doing. Look at the anointing on it. Look at the change. Look at his heart. Look at what he's saying. And there's an anointing about it. And there's a power behind it. I want that. Then the music will come. Then the giftings will come. He didn't come out with his album and then start doing the tours and preaching and doing. He started by repenting before God and having services and calling out and crying out to God and having men of God around him that I'm sure he was asking questions and I'm sure he was trying to figure all of it out. And out of all of that, I'm sure there was just trials and tests and struggles and, you know, going on TMZ and, you know, doing all this stuff and supporting Trump and everything that he's done where people thought he's completely crazy. Like the guy's lost his mind. And all of that pain and all of that anguish and all of that purpose and all of that passion was poured into this album. And I appreciated it. I listened to every song, every word of every song, and he lifted up Jesus, man. He lifted up Jesus. He proclaimed Jesus in every song. So I highly recommend this album. I highly recommend it. And I highly recommend that we pray for Kanye West, pray for his family, pray for his loved ones, pray for the people that are around him, pray for the pastors that are helping him and speaking into his life and being an encouragement to him. Pray for the people that are helping him with these services and all this stuff that's happening, and pray that the Lord keeps him, his keeping power. He was sharing his testimony and how he said that King Nebuchadnezzar went crazy and the Lord put something on King Nebuchadnezzar that made him go crazy. And he grew, Bible says he was like feathers and claws like an eagle. And he was just running around crazy out in the middle of nowhere. And Kanye said that in order for the Lord to get a hold of him, he went through the same thing, that the Lord put that same thing on him. And that's why he was going crazy and saying all these crazy things and doing all this crazy stuff, because the Lord knew what he needed to do to get a hold of him. And I thought that was so powerful and deep and profound for him to really see deeper into his situation, into his own heart and into his own life, and find true repentance. I think that's powerful. And that true repentance and those true moments that he had with God and that he had with, you know, I'm sure his family and just everything that they were used to one thing and now they're seeing another. And he took all of that and poured it into this music. It wasn't just a fly-by-night thing. It wasn't just, I'm going to put a Christian album together. I believe that this was just him crying out to the Lord and saying, I'm not perfect, but I'm right here. And the church, you could either accept me, Christians can either accept me, or you're going to speak against me. But either way, I'm right here. And Jesus is my King. And I think that's powerful. So I want to know your thoughts on everything I said here. I mean, some of you are going to agree with me, some of you aren't, which is fine. I mean, we're all entitled to see things how we want. But I would just think really honestly, internalize, and think about, you know, if the Lord put a celebrity in your life, how would you minister to that person? if the Lord all of a sudden, you know, and some of us would be starstruck, you know, some of us would really not know what to say or how to act. But now think about these guys that are surrounding Kanye West and all of the controversy and all of the stuff that surrounds him and the reality shows and the cameras and the paparazzi and the everything that this guy has gone through and all the hurts and pains and struggles in his life and addictions and everything else. And here he is truly separating himself unto God, and he's not just going to go do that quietly. He wants to make an impact. And I think it's powerful. It was all in the album. It was all just poured out onto this record, man. And amazing. So keep Kanye in your prayers. And let me know what your thoughts are on this. The next segment, I am going to talk about one of my favorite subjects. I know this isn't a sports podcast, and I might lose some of you, but I want to talk about the Cowboys next and how we beat the Eagles and just a funny little story that I want to share with you about all that. We'll share that next. So the Cowboys victory this past Sunday, this week, of course, the Cowboys got a bye week, but last Sunday, Sunday Night Football, Cowboys beat the Eagles, and it was awesome. We sealed first place in the NFC East. Now, I don't want to take full credit for the victory, but I did my part, and here's how. All right, now, last year, the Cowboys were doing, they had a rough start last year with everything that was happening with the suspension and everything that happened last year. The first game they played against the Eagles, they weren't supposed to win at all. And I wore this green shirt to church. And it's a green shirt. It's, you know, it's just this button-down shirt that I wore to church. And the Cowboys wound up beating the Eagles. And then after that, last year, every time I would wear this certain green shirt, the Cowboys would win and the Eagles would lose. And it worked every single time. And then there was a week or two that I didn't wear the shirt and the Cowboys wound up losing, the Eagles won. So it was pretty crazy. So it didn't start working until the first game the Eagles played the Cowboys last year. So I waited for the first six games to not wear the shirt. I didn't wear it any of the games because I want it to happen the same exact way that it did last year. And last year we wound up making the playoffs and all that. So sure enough, I wore the shirt to church. And, you know, there's a couple Eagles fans. I'm not really going to call them out, but if you're close to, you know who they are. Anyway, he wore an Eagles tie and, you know, he started talking a lot of smack. And he saw that I wore the shirt and he said, "Why'd you wear that shirt?" And, you know, I told him, "You know why? I got to do my part." Sure enough, every time the Cowboys would score or the Cowboys would force a turnover or whatever happened, even from that first forced fumble that happened, I text him the shirt and people were texting me, "It's the shirt," you know, and it was pretty awesome. So just letting everybody know I did my part. I want to take full credit, but you got to know it's the shirt. All right, so now everybody kind of knows about the story of the shirt. So if you see every Sunday that I'm wearing this green shirt on Sunday, it still fits me this year, so I haven't grown too far. Come on, somebody. But, you know, it's if you see me wearing the same green shirt every Sunday for the rest of the season, don't question. Just know that I'm doing my part for the team, and we're going to go to the Super Bowl. Cowboys this year, the Lord's team. So this goes out to all the, you know, the haters out there. I get a lot of text messages. I'm part of group text chats and everything else, Raiders fans and everybody else that's against us, but we will prevail because I have the green shirt. So just wanted to share the story about the green shirt. All right, so to close out the podcast, I just want to, first of all, say thanks for hanging out and, you know, listening. I don't really have a movie review this week. I wanted to review the Kanye West album, but I do have some announcements, some different things that are going on. I'm going to be, well, tomorrow morning we have prayer at the church. Well, Saturday morning, I say tomorrow, but who knows when you're listening to this. It's going to be on the internet forever. So 10/26 of 2019 at 8 a.m. we will be having a men's prayer meeting. I'm super excited about it, just to get and connect with the fellas and get a hold of God. On November 2nd, I am going to be speaking at a men's conference at His Place Church in Huntington Beach, and it is called His Talks. It's like TED Talks, but it's for men, and it's a men conference, and they give me about a 15-minute segment to kind of share. I'm going to share on revolution, being a revolutionary, and just a revolution of the heart. I think it's going to be an awesome time. I'm really excited about it. They're going to feed me. I think the tickets to get in are $25 if anyone wants to join. I'll be posting information about it on Facebook. So it's going to be an incredible time. I'm really looking forward to it. See what the Lord wants to do in that. And other than that, I have great news. Okay, so I just realized that I had access to voice to text on my laptop with Google Docs. All right, so Google Docs, you can actually sit and talk to your laptop and it'll dictate as you speak the words. So last night I just talked to my laptop and formatted the entire format of my book. So I actually started my book. I am really excited about it. And I am, the title may change, but right now the title is The Servant's Legacy. And I am going to talk about in my book, I'm going to write about the servant's legacy, kind of my process through the home and through coming off the streets into the home, into the ministry, and everything that God has done in my life and overcoming addiction and everything else that God has done, to kind of just write a story. It's going to, like, one of the chapters is called What I Learned from the Brick Pile. And in the men's home, when you got discipline, you got what's called the brick pile. And you talk about a battle in your mind and in your heart, just enduring that and knowing, you know, they'd say, if you don't want to do it, you could just pack up and leave or do the bricks. And you know that you're free to go if you want to. And in that battle, in that moment, you know, you decide what kind of man you are. Are you going to just take your discipline and take your lumps, or run away? So that's one of the chapters. I mean, there's plenty of chapters and ideas that we have for the book, and I'm going to just take it step by step, page by page, chapter by chapter, and get a book behind me. I'm super excited about it, A Servant's Legacy. And I'm going to be sharing a lot of that book with you, a lot of the process with you through the podcast. You guys are actually going to hear all the struggles, and when I hit writer's block and everything else that happens, I'll be sharing with you along the way. But I am going to get this thing done. I'm super excited about it. So keep that in your prayers, and we'll see what the Lord has in store for that. I am believing God for great things. Well, I definitely appreciate you guys taking the time to listen to this podcast. Hopefully it's been an encouragement to you and an enjoyment to you. And it has to me. I'm really enjoying doing this. It helps me to kind of decompress and get my thoughts out and really share from my heart on a weekly basis. And I hope that you guys really enjoy it. And I do want to end by saying, no matter what you're going through, no matter what hell is coming against you, to stand firm and be encouraged. God is with you. Love you guys.